Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, Robin.
And our Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
How the heck are you, Robin?
I'm good in these final days of 2020. So, Brooks, you reported on a development this week that just missed our arts roundup for these days of 2020. Are there dreams of making the Twin Ports the next Hollywood?
That is what advocates would like to see. St. Louis County this week, the Board of Commissioners passed a up to $1 million film and TV production incentive to lure crews up to St. Louis County and the broader region. One of the advocates, Ricky McManus of the Upper Midwest Film Office, says, quote, it's truly the fastest form of job creation post-pandemic. So they're hoping that we can get TV crews up here and make up for the lack of a robust state incentive, which has fallen to about $500,000 per year. That's Minnesota's controversial snowbait incentive, which advocates are also pushing to increase. So up to $1 million in St. Louis County, now available for rebates for qualifying productions.
Well, that's ambitious and looking to the future, but back to the present and back to the COVID front. The vaccine is here. You didn't need me to say that. What's the latest for the rollout in our part of Wisconsin, Danny?
Yeah, well, for rural health officials, they've been really concerned about the rollout of the Pfizer vaccine because it needs to be stored at temperatures colder than winter in Antarctica to keep them from spoiling. And so, we have the first round of around 50,000 doses that's coming through Wisconsin this week. It's not an expected problem for rural healthcare providers or hospitals, according to the Wisconsin Rural Health Cooperative. And that's because, once they're removed from storage, there's so few of the doses that they would receive that they would likely be used up in that time frame, within that 5 days after they're kept in refrigeration.
And colder than winter in Antarctica is actually colder than winter in northwest Wisconsin, correct?
Yeah, if you can believe that. Sometimes it feels like it's not. But, once this vaccine is removed from storage, it can be kept in refrigeration at hospitals for about 5 days. So it's not expected to be a problem for rural hospitals or healthcare providers when they receive this vaccine because there are so few doses right now that are being handed out. But rural hospitals like Hayward Area Memorial Hospital is preparing, for receiving this vaccine and how they would go about vaccinating their workers. Priority is being placed on those who have direct contact with patients, but they're not planning to vaccinate all of their healthcare workers at once in case there are side effects. They don't want to create a staffing shortage. And possibly next week, if the Moderna vaccine is approved, Wisconsin could also see 100,000 doses of that vaccine, which would actually be more beneficial for rural healthcare providers and hospitals in northern Wisconsin because it doesn't require that extra cold storage like the Pfizer vaccine. So they would be much more equipped to handle that.
Well, that all continues as a race against time. Brooks, back on the Minnesota side, while people wait, the numbers are still not looking good.
It was a staggering month in terms of COVID infection in Minnesota and in Wisconsin, frankly. In St. Louis County, there was a 160% increase in cases in November and a 138% increase across the border in Douglas County. That has recently equated into a record number of deaths in the region. Just in December now, 60 people have died in St. Louis County from COVID-19. That's about a third of all coronavirus deaths we've seen so far in the county. Douglas County, too, has seen a huge spike in coronavirus deaths. Only one person had died from the virus through November 8th. And now, as of Wednesday this week, there have been 29 confirmed and probable deaths. Carlton County has also seen its previously low death rate skyrocket to 30 since mid-November.
Well, as the pandemic goes on, we're actually still fighting the opioid epidemic. It really hasn't gone away. But there's a new effort in Duluth?
That's right. On the heels of the deadliest year we've seen in Duluth in terms of opioid overdose deaths, 19 people this year have died from opioid overdoses in Duluth. The Duluth Police Department just received a $900,000 grant to create the Lake Superior Diversion and Substance Use Response Team. Now, that means that they're going to add a second peer recovery specialist and a licensed drug and alcohol counselor. The department has, in recent years, taken moves to address the demand for drugs in the region so that people will be less likely to sell it here. So they're thinking if we put more people in treatment, we'll reduce that demand and we'll get more people on the road to recovery. Already, since 2018, the Duluth Police Department has had an opioid response technician, and her caseload is already over 100 people, and she certainly needs backup that she's grateful for.
Mm-hmm. Opioids are very much a rural America problem, and poverty is one factor. Danny, Wisconsin's looking at ways to increase prosperity.
Yeah, a new report that came out from the state's Office of Rural Prosperity this week is, touting the need to expand broadband internet service and address housing and childcare shortages across rural Wisconsin in order to create economic growth. And the report calls for a number of things, including economic development programs that are geared toward rural communities specifically. And, it calls for other things like easing levy limits or state restrictions on raising property taxes to give local governments more flexibility in funding some programs that would boost rural economic development, and also boosting state funding for county-level education programs through the University of Wisconsin-Madison Division of Extension. So those are a few of the things that this report included, and it also touched on, providing more equity and fairness towards a variety of groups in rural Wisconsin, including tribes and Native Americans.
Mm-hmm. And while there's that effort to improve the economy of rural Wisconsin, you've got some news about cleaning up the environment as well.
Yeah, the state also released a plan this week to address PFAS. And if you don't know what that is, basically PFAS is this class of chemicals that are really difficult to break down in the environment. And they're found in firefighting foam and everyday products. They're of concern because they've been linked to health problems like cancer, thyroid disease, and reproductive issues. And so the state has been working on a plan for a little more than a year, and they came out with a list of 25 action items to address it, including testing public water supplies to see what PFAS levels are in drinking water, and also requiring polluters to set aside funds for cleanup of sites that have been contaminated with PFAS. And in Wisconsin, environmental regulators are monitoring more than 50 sites with PFAS contamination, and that includes Superior, as a result of the Husky Energy refinery fire that we saw back in April of 2018.
All right. Well, hopefully a promising future. We've been speaking with Danielle Cady, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks so much, Robin. Happy holidays.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport. And be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter, as, once again, I do. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We'll be off for the next 2 weeks, which happen to be Christmas and New Year's Day, to bring you WPR's network programming for those holidays. We hope they're great for every one of you and that 2021 is even better. Simply Superior is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. We had administrative support from Allison Wade and years of technical expertise and help from John Talcott. Paul Damberg is our executive producer, and our theme song was written and performed by Bruce Nelson. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with a bit of optimism from Charlie Parr. Stay safe, everyone.
When I go down that funeral road, Lord, I'm gonna be dressed up fine. I'm gonna have me a nice new suit and tie like I never could have afforded when I was alive. Well, I ain't dead yet, let me wear that suit right now. I ain't nobody gonna see it when I'm locked in that box underneath the ground. Lord, I ain't dead yet, give me my flowers now. They're gonna play all my favorite songs. Well, they plant me in the sand. Ah, but I ain't dead yet. Let me hear that music now. There ain't no way I can hear it when I'm locked in that box underneath the ground. They're gonna have nice things to say. They're gonna say, you know, he was a good egg. Yeah, even don't really feel that way. I mean, I ain't dead yet. Tell me what you think right now. You can't look me in the eye when I'm locked in that box underneath the ground. Flowers everywhere.